This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents X Games by Stella Reese, narrated by Carly Robbins. Chapter 1. Mondays had a bad rap, but since the breakup, Wednesdays had become my mortal enemy. I'd gone through 9 of them since the one on which Aaron packed his bags overnight and left me with just a note on the kitchen table. Which was almost humorous, really, because for the last year of our 3-year relationship, we had only 2 struggles, his inability to clean up after himself and his refusal to write a card instead of agonize over gifts. Lucky for us, he finally got past both those struggles in one shot. Not so lucky for us. The achievement came in conjunction with him dumping me out of the blue without so much as a word of explanation. Were it not for the goodbye he scribbled on the back of a Duane Reade receipt, I'd have alerted the press and filed a missing persons report. Not that I didn't end up doing other dramatic things, though, to be fair, they sounded more dramatic than they were. On paper, calling Aaron's friends, colleagues, boss, and a couple gym buddies might sound borderline to fully batshit insane, but in my own defense, I thought he had either lost his mind or been kidnapped by the Sicilian Mafia. Because nothing had led up to him leaving me. Nothing. In fact, we'd had that steamy, breathy, fingers tangled in his hair kind of sex the night before. The last fight we'd gotten into was a petty one about the sheer amount of butt shots he liked on Instagram, and we settled that one fast with a new rule. No more double-tapping booties for Aaron, as long as Taylor agreed to stop moaning every time she saw a picture of Charlie Hunnam. It was easy. We'd become so good at settling our silly stuff, and as far as I knew, silly stuff was all we had. But then he left me, and all he gave me was that shitty note. "Tay, I hope you'll forgive me, but I had to go. Please keep the ring because you have been nothing but amazing to me, and you don't deserve this at all. I don't have a choice, but I promise I love you, and I promise you'll move on. A." I stood in the middle of the kitchen for a solid 5 minutes as the room spun around me. Then I snapped out of my daze and called him, all the while tearing through our Columbus Circle apartment, for any clues that this was just a big, cruel joke. He didn't pick up, but it took 2 Wednesdays for me to consider I might actually be single. It took another till I realized I was. Several more passed before I truly accepted that this was it. Aaron and I were over. Done. The man who had seen me through my absolute worst trials and tribulations, the man I had spent the past 6 months planning a wedding with, was gone. And not only that, he wanted to be. As it turned out, he had premeditated leaving me for at least a month, considering he'd put in 2 weeks at his job, had a fucking goodbye party with his colleagues, and even finagled his way off our lease, leaving me to pay solo for the $4,000 a month studio he claimed we needed for its prestigious address. That one left me dumbfounded all over again. Because it was one thing to abandon me, but it really took some nerve to also leave me with the bills he knew I couldn't afford alone. After all, he was the one who needed to impress his rich friends. He was the one who decided that we couldn't reside anywhere but the 30th floor of a high-rise, with a weekly maid service and the most absurdly expensive gym membership known to man. Since the rent came out of Aaron's checking, I footed our other expenses and paid the difference owed every month. It worked fine for 3 years, but now every last dollar sign was mine to tackle, including that of the cancellation fees from every vendor and venue we booked for the big fat wedding that wasn't going to happen. It was like rubbing financial salt into the wounds of my life turned upside down. 4 Wednesdays ago, I picked up a night job as a waitress. 2 Wednesdays ago, I maxed out my second credit card. Last Wednesday, I got a late notice on my rent, and I was sure it couldn't possibly get shittier than that. But today, I woke up to something a solid 1,000 times worse than the last 3 combined because this Wednesday, the bad news was waiting impatiently outside my apartment and rapping nonstop on the door despite the fact that it was 7:15 a.m. And even if it weren't, he had to know I'd want nothing to do with him. I generally preferred a good 50 streets separating me and the man whose guts I'd spent the past 3 years hating with every last fiber of my being. Taylor, come the fuck on. Open the goddamn door. Ever the charmer, that one. Today, I got Aaron's brother, Mason. Chapter 2. Taylor, I know you're in there. I can hear the TV. Panicked, I popped up on the couch that had been my bed since the breakup. Throwing the sheets off my body, I shoved my hands between the pillows, my foggy morning brain convinced that Mason would go away if I just turned off the volume. Don't bother looking for the remote. I can clearly hear you watching The Real Housewives of your shitty taste in TV. Standing now, I cut my eyes to the door, trying to decide if I wanted to blow my cover with a retort. Trust me, I'd have no interest in being here if it weren't an emergency, and I'm trying to give you the chance to do this on your own terms. Either open the door or I will. And before you say I don't have a key, I do. He paused. So for both our sakes, put on some pants. Asshole. I tried to tell myself he was bluffing, but my lips betrayed me. Mason? Don't you dare come in. There she is. His smug voice came back straight away. Morning, sunshine. Hope you slept well. Now open the door.
I don't want to or have to. Whether I like it or not, this is my apartment now and mine alone.
I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but it's not your apartment. You don't own this building. It's just a rental that you haven't paid for in a month. According to this gorgeous pink note I'm staring at.
Shit. My cheeks went aflame as I realized my landlord had left another notice. I tried to think of a response, but suddenly, I was frozen at the sound of metal jimmying in the lock of my door. No way. In my mind, I ran to grab the blanket on the couch and cover myself up. In reality, I stood there, useless and unmoving, because despite knowing Mason Leo for 3 whole years... I was still shocked that he was, in fact, shitty enough to barge into my home without asking.
Mace, I watched the doorknob turn.
Wait! Incoming!
With that casual announcement, the door swung open and my jaw hit the floor as Mason Leo strolled right into my home, wearing a damp white T-shirt and dark gray sweats. Holy shit! I froze, a knot jumping into my throat because, one, I'd never seen Mason in anything but an expensive suit, and two, I'd never seen this much of him before. The cotton of his shirt was saturated in sweat, and it clung to his every muscle. He'd been on a morning run, and I could very much see that, as well as some rather clear outlines of six-pack. And cock. Wow. Just like that, I forgot my instinct to cover myself up and suddenly, in a see-through shirt and ugly panties gifted by Sophia as a joke, I was standing before Mason Leo's famously lusted-for body, watching his blue eyes move leisurely up my bare legs and over every inch of my mortification. Silence stretched between us till finally he raised his eyebrows and gave a low laugh.
Well, the top half almost makes up for the bottom.
I blushed something furious, clasping my hands over my breasts before acknowledging the panties.
They were a gag gift.
Gag or not, today's Wednesday.
He squinted at the pink cursive on my crotch that read, Sunday. I snapped my fingers in front of my eyes.
Up here?
And I don't actually wear these according to the day. I sniped, as he ignored me to amble into my kitchen and grab a mug out of the cupboard.
Please, don't make yourself at home.
I could never feel at home in a 500-square-foot studio.
550, I thought bitterly, as I tore my gaze off Mason's Superman shoulders, stretching the life out of his shirt.
Crossing my arms, I forced my stare elsewhere. Instead, watching his long fingers work the buttons on the espresso machine I never knew how to use. Mason?
God, I love how much irritation you fit into just the syllables of my name.
Can you not act like you didn't just waltz into my apartment without asking?
How should I act, then? Like I spent the night?
He turned around, his blue eyes glinting behind the fresh coffee he brought to his lips.
You'd need more of a glow to make that look convincing. But the hair's messy enough.
Yeah. Let's also not talk about made-up scenarios in which you and I have made any sort of physical contact, I said, heading for my dresser.
Sorry. I must have misread the way you stared at my dick before.
It was kind of just there, so don't flatter yourself, I retorted, cursing my bedroomless apartment for the millionth time as I rifled through my drawer in clear view of Mason. So, are you planning to tell me at all why you're here? The only reason I haven't called the cops is because I have a feeling that whatever you have to say has to do with your brother.
Don't pin his existence all on me. He's your ex, too.
I'm aware, I scowled, yanking on a pair of yoga pants and crossing my arms over my chest. Standing across the studio from Mason, I cocked an inquisitive eyebrow. So, what is it? Did you finally track him down?
Something like that. I didn't get in direct contact with him yet, but I received something in the mail that pointed me in his direction.
What does that mean? From his back pocket, Mason took out a folded card. He held it out, and when it was clear that he wouldn't be walking it to me, I sighed and dragged my feet over to him. I didn't want it to show, but I was deathly curious about whatever the hell it was he had in his hand. But the second I got close enough to touch what he was holding, my heart beat out of my chest. What is this? I whispered, despite having a hunch once I plucked the card into my own fingers and felt its weight in my hand. It can't be. It was a 6-by-8-inch rectangle, and not just any kind, but one I knew well, having looked recently through a million samples from a dozen different calligraphers. But I told myself it couldn't be, and I tried to ignore the heat of Mason's stare as I turned the embossed vellum around, letting my horror and confusion settle on the sweeping cursive, printing three names I knew well. Mr. and Mrs. Glenn Tully request the honor of your presence at the marriage of their daughter, Eva Cecilia Tully, to Aaron Easton Leo, Saturday the 17th of December, at the Sundara Resort in St. Lucia. My stomach turned. No. No, no. It was a misprint. It had to be. Eva Tully was the daughter of tech mogul Glenn Tully and his third wife, Anna Livia. She was also the swimsuit model who'd barked at me for spilling Cristal on her Manolos at a 26th birthday last year. Though I hadn't. She had. She was just too drunk to realize. And Aaron urged me to take the blame, hissing, "Christ, Taylor, it's her birthday!" Though he might as well have said, "Don't fight her. She's hot." And she was. Eva was also dating Mason at the time. In fact, they were running on a nearly 6-month relationship at that point, which was apparently his longest since junior high. I knew that because Aaron tracked Mason's every move, like some kind of secret paparazzo, and he anticipated Mason's potential nuptials in the most oddly obsessive manner. "I'll fucking kill myself if those two ever get married," he always used to mutter. Whenever I asked why, he'd say, "I'll never beat him." It was vague, but clear enough to make me feel like crap. Of course, it made me feel even worse now that I was holding the invitation to their fucking wedding. This isn't real. This isn't happening. Nauseous, I squeezed my eyes shut, hoping to either process the information or wake up from the dream. Aaron and Eva, Eva and Aaron. I repeated their names over and over, and while it didn't make them feel any more real, tears started burning in my eyes. Nothing was sinking in, and worse than that, Mason Leo was the only person I had to talk to. I don't understand. What is this?
It's a fucking golf catalog. What does it look like?
For God's sake, just tell me in words, Mason. I'm sure you can guess that my mind can't exactly wrap around this concept right now.
I can talk to you when you stop crying.
Don't. Don't act like I'm being crazy or too emotional when you just handed me an invitation to a wedding between my fiancé and a woman who is not me. I seethed, turning away from him as the tears finally spilled. I trapped my sobs in my throat, refusing to let them out because I knew Mason would yell at me. But when a tiny one escaped, I heard more of a sigh.
Taylor, I know this is a mindfuck. If it's any consolation, it was probably Eva's idea.
Why would she be with Aaron after being with you? I demanded, blushing the second the question left my lips. But I couldn't pinpoint why. At least not till I realized I was asking how a girl would settle for Aaron after having had Mason. Jesus, what kind of question was that, Taylor? I'd never entertained that way of thinking before, ever. I had always loved having Aaron over Mason, no matter how hard my friends lusted over Mace and pressed me to confess that I fantasized about him. I didn't. Not consciously, at least. Aaron was my choice Leo brother because he was handsome and smart, and he made me feel safe because he wasn't a heartless playboy. He was loyal. At least I thought he was. Cheeks burning, I slowly returned wet eyes to Mason, waiting for him to pounce on my slip of tongue and point out that I'd given him a hugely inadvertent compliment. There was a glint of amusement in his eye that I wanted to strangle him for, but to my surprise, he took mercy and gave me answers instead of grief.
From what I heard, Eva thought she'd be the one to get me to propose. Her friend told me she already started picking out bridesmaids' dresses, so yeah. She took it hard when I ended things.
He tilted his head.
You might have heard.
Yeah, I said flatly. I didn't read the tabloids that covered Mason's sexcapades, mostly because I didn't want to encourage Aaron's bad habit of devouring them. But the news about Eva and Mason's breakup had been absolutely everywhere. Tech Princess Vandalizes Leo Group Office. The headline was emblazoned across every blog, paper, and magazine, and Aaron and I had literally made a bag of popcorn to watch the viral footage when it came out. It was admittedly hilarious. The surveillance cameras at Mason's Park Avenue office shot practically in HD, and they caught Eva with four friends breaking in just past 4 a.m. They all looked gorgeous in their miniskirts and stilettos as they trashed the entire floor, drawing dicks on the walls with lipstick and taking breaks only to wink up at the camera. Mason never pressed charges, and last I checked, the clip was nearing 20 million views.
Yeah.
He pressed his mouth into a hard line, but I could see the laughter dancing behind his blue eyes.
So, my guess here is that Eva's trying to get back at me now by marrying my brother, which sounds crazy to a normal person like you, but to someone who's dated her, it's just another day of the week.
I was speechless, staring through tears at Mason in my minuscule kitchen. So it was real, really happening. True love or not, Aaron had left me for a billionaire's daughter, and not only that, they'd be wed in a matter of weeks. It was humiliating, and to make things worse on me, my brain was repeating that pesky mantra that had been haunting the past 2 perfect years with Aaron. You should have let it end when you had the chance. You could have avoided all this pain. Fuck! I breathed out hard, feeling worse now than I did on the day that he left me, because on top of being heartbroken, I was livid. I never wanted to look at Aaron ever again, and at the same time, I was desperate to see him. I needed to ask a million questions to his face, but most of all, I needed to know when his heart had grown so cold. When he had found the bravery to leave the woman he'd been to hell and back with, the woman he said he couldn't wait to have children with. Lastly, I wanted to know if he thought about how I'd be alone in bed every night, crying myself to sleep, while he spent his evenings with Eva at the Tully Estate in Silicon Valley, popping bottles of champagne 3 times the price of our rent, the rent that was now solely mine to pay. Double fuck. And just like that, I burst into tears. Damn it, Taylor, I cursed myself, because the only thing I hated more than feeling this emotionally out of control was Mason Leo. So ugly crying in front of him was most definitely a worst-case scenario on this lovely Wednesday morning. It didn't help that as I cried, his expression refused to move, let alone twitch with even an ounce of sympathy. A pathetic hiccup escaped my lips as Mason glanced at his cell phone.
When you're done, I've got a proposition for you.
I swallowed and stared in disbelief. You are so remarkably insensitive, I breathed.
I can't imagine that's new information for you.
It's not, yet I keep letting you surprise me.
We Leo boys are full of surprises then, aren't we?
Fire lit my eyes as I burst from my chair. Okay, you have to go now. I tried to grip his arms, but my fingers failed to wrap around even half their muscle. God damn it, Mace! I knew he was smirking as he watched me struggle to remove him from my kitchen and apartment. When I finally got him to the door, he stopped to face me.
I want you to come with me to that wedding, Taylor.
You're out of your mind.
If I am, it benefits you.
How?
Come with me and I'll make your debt disappear.
Like I said, you're out of your fucking mind, I hissed, going for the door. But with a hard step forward, Mason backed me up against it. My breath hitched in my throat as he hovered just over me, a dark look clouding over his face.
Listen to me, Taylor, he said, his voice steely. I can't let this marriage happen, and neither can you. Do you want Aaron to marry that woman? Do you want to turn on the TV next year and hear all about the $2 million they dropped on a fucking baby shower? This is the kind of mistake that lasts forever.
I know that.
Then goddamn it, come with me.
No, he growled.
Why not?
Because.
Well, now that you explained it.
My lip curled. Because you only want me there to lure him away from your ex, Mason.
And if that were the case?
Then that's fucked up. I tried to writhe away from Mason, but in a second flat, his hands were on the door, his frame caging me in.
How so?
You figure it out.
I'd prefer that tongue of yours enlighten me.
Chest heaving, I stared up into his eyes, trying to find the words I knew he doubted I had in me. Wetting my lips, I finally regained composure. You're counting on me being weak, Mason, I whispered, my voice shaky but knife sharp. Aaron disappeared on me after 3 years without telling me why. He let me find out on my own that he was getting married to another woman, and on top of all that, he left me with a hell of a financial mess to deal with alone. So if you're hoping for me to run back to him, then you're basically banking on me to have a catastrophic lapse in judgment. You're hoping I am so dumb. I might still try to pursue a life with a man who ruined mine without thinking twice. Well, sorry to break it to you, but I've a little more respect for myself than that. I blew blonde locks from the eyes that burned so fiercely into his that he took a step back. Enlightened yet? Mason blinked, stunned for half a second, but lifting his eyebrows, he recovered.
I'm definitely something, he said.
I shook my head and turned around so I didn't have to watch him adjust his package. You're also leaving now, I muttered, unlocking the door and ignoring the heat of Mason's body on my back. My heart beat faster when I felt him graze against my backside, before sliding my hand off the knob to grab it himself.
All right,
he conceded with a sudden ease. But in the hall, he held the door open for the last word.
Let me know when you change your mind.
I won't.
You will,
he said with a nonchalance that drove me insane.
Feel free to call me when you do, and don't be shy. Any time of the night works for me.
My cheeks flushed red, and I tried to retort, but with a dirty little wink, Mason was gone. Chapter 3. I dragged my feet out of the empty break room with its fluorescent lights and broken vending machine. It was no paradise, but I still wished I could stay there instead of return to my dead Friday night shift, or my remarkably unpleasant co-workers. It had been a while since I'd dealt with cliques, but at McFadden's Ale House, There was a click, and it hated me. Loathed me, really. Because as I'd come to learn, they didn't take kindly to new meat at Fatty Ale's. New meat meant a crowded tip pool, and a crowded tip pool meant less money for all. Except me. Thanks to Aaron, I was there to make whatever cash I could get. So I endured the mean girls because on good nights, they at least ignored me. Of course, on bad ones, they nitpicked my every move, called me bitch to my face, and hip-checked me at service bar. It sucked, but money was money. So I swallowed my pride and reminded myself that I hadn't come to make friends. In fact, McFadden's had remained my dirty little secret since I was hired because by day, I was an event coordinator for the esteemed Vandermark restaurants on Fifth Avenue. So I really didn't need anyone to know that by night, I was slinging lagers in a cropped sports jersey, Daisy Dukes, and knee-high socks at a bar known locally as Shitty Hooters. According to Yelp, the nickname derived from the waitstaff's attitude, which was described as aggressively apathetic. On a normal night, I couldn't argue that. But tonight, my co-workers seemed oddly impassioned about providing service, at least to some table that had arrived during my break. The second I got back to my shift, I saw my fellow waitresses burst into the back station, clamoring over their queen, Brielle, and the alleged babe at her table 28.
"I will literally give you $50 if you let me serve him tonight, Bree. I'll give you half my tips and cover your Sunday. I'll give you half my tips and cover your whole weekend."
Damn. In the doorway, I watched in awe, because on any other night, these were three of the greediest and pettiest girls in the world. I'd seen them argue for 2 hours over a $6 tip, so it was like a sad breath of fresh air to witness them offer everything short of their firstborn just to flirt with a guy. But their efforts were in vain because Brielle declared,
"Sorry, sluts,"
before yanking her shirt down, grabbing the water pitcher, and glaring at me.
"Out of my way?"
"Thanks," she muttered, still hip-checking me on her way to the floor. "Awesome. Love this place." I snorted as I regained my footing and resisted the urge to follow my co-workers outside to watch. But my self-control lasted all of 2 seconds before I grabbed my tray and headed out to get myself a peek of Mr. Mystery Babe. I really shouldn't have been surprised when I saw it was Mason. "How the hell?" I muttered under my breath, as my co-workers glared at me for daring to stand near them.
"Out of our way. Thanks."
Arms hooked, they waltzed to stand right in front of me, and within seconds, they were bouncing on their toes and squealing, because across the bar, Brielle was breaking the rules by sliding seductively into the booth with Mason. I bit my lip, shuffling aside for a better view of him. He was wearing the hell out of one of his usual suits, sleek, gray, and fitted, paired with a crisp white shirt underneath. Unlike a few days ago, his dark hair was neat and gently slicked back. He looked like the kind of rich and handsome that clearly didn't belong in a place like Fatty Ale's. And every woman in the room had taken notice. In fact, it felt like the entire place had stopped in its tracks to watch him. And I was hardly surprised, because as always, the way Aaron hated, Mason commanded attention. It was precisely why my heart stopped when Brielle leaned into his whisper, biting back a big, flirty smile that slowly faded as her eyes lifted up to find me. Oh, boy. And suddenly, Brielle sat up straight, rose to her feet, and walked stiffly away from the table, directly blocking my view of Mason as she stomped with increasing fury at me. Dozens of stares flew in my direction as I stood there, just waiting to hear the words from my co-worker that I could already predict.
"He asked for you,"
Brielle muttered, face red and lip curling as she stormed right past me. Stunned, but hardly surprised, I stared across the room at Mason. I shook my head at his thoroughly arched eyebrows, our eyes locking only after he took his time drinking me in from head to toe. "God damn this uniform," I thought for the millionth time, as I forced myself to march over to Mason in long, hard strides. I was humiliated, but refused to show it, so when I finally reached him, I cocked my hip, held my tray up high, and spoke before him.
"Don't." He was already laughing.
"What?"
"Crack all the predictable jokes. I know you're dying to, but let me do it for you. Yes, I work as a fatty's girl. Yes, I'm wearing a padded bra under a child-sized Eagles jersey. And yes, my pants are ridiculously tight."
"No judgment here. My own are getting tighter as we speak."
I rolled my eyes.
"Right.
So now that we've gotten the obligatory mention of your dick out of the way, can you please tell me how you even found me here?"
"There was a McFadden's paycheck on your kitchen counter,"
Mason said, prompting my groan.
"And I was actually going to spare you the jokes. I'm sure you get enough grade-A material from your sophisticated clientele."
I glanced at the tables of overgrown frat boys, mostly finance bros who wore too much axe and called me Dollface. "I do, thanks."
"Of course. And since the reason isn't exactly jumping out at me here, care to tell me why you'd rather work at this dump than come with me to the wedding?"
"I'd rather work for a dump than a prick." He studied the amusement on my face.
"Charming. But you still essentially work for pricks when you're serving guys who tip 10% and slap your ass while you're carrying a full tray."
I lifted my brows high. "The accuracy of that tells me you have personal experience with being a dick to waitresses."
"If observing Aaron at bars back in grad school counts as personal experience,"
Mason replied, watching my face fall like a brick at the mention of Aaron.
"On the topic of that idiot, I wanted to clarify something from our conversation on Wednesday."
I glanced around for anyone trying to flag me down, but I had zero tables. With reluctance, I turned back to Mason. "Go for it." He gave a short, admittedly sexy laugh as he rubbed his jaw.
"Look, I know you're smarter than to run back to him, Taylor,"
he said, his voice so low and genuine, I found myself suddenly disarmed.
"And if you want the truth, I think you deserve better than him. But as much as I can't stand the kid, Aaron's my brother. I can't let him marry into crazy. He doesn't know what he's getting into. And I'm not going to waste your time trying to explain it. I'm just hoping you'll realize that this plan would work in your favor, too. Worst case scenario, it falls through and he marries her. But you still get your shot at closure, and you still get to quit this place and wipe out all your debt at once. Doesn't sound too bad, does it?"
I clenched my jaw. No. It didn't sound bad. It sounded perfect, and like everything I wanted and needed. But my body was still wired to resist. "No one would ever believe that you and I became a couple," I pointed out.
"No one would have ever believed that Aaron might marry Eva Tully. Yet, here we are,"
Mason countered easily.
"Nothing is ever as far-fetched as you think. We'll just say, I went to your house to tell you about the wedding. You were predictably distraught. I capitalized on your vulnerability and got you in bed."
My face contorted with disgust. "Ugh, that's horrible."
"It didn't actually happen, Taylor."
I rolled my eyes. "Thank you for the clarification."
"No problem. Now go ahead and ask me whatever other questions you have to delay your decision to say yes."
Mason kept his gaze pinned on me as he leaned back, loosening his skinny black tie. God, he was so arrogant. I almost wanted to reject his offer and live in debt just to spite him. "You know, I have a real job besides this one," I finally pointed out. "I assume you'll be wanting to go to St. Lucia well before the wedding, so you have time to change Aaron's mind. But if you need me for more than a weekend, I won't be able to get the time off."
"I'm sure you can. Ideally, I'd want you off for 2 weeks.
"Are you serious?" I burst out laughing. "I can't get 2 weeks off, Mason, with barely any heads up and during high season. I'm not exaggerating when I say that's impossible." Mason's chiseled features barely twitched in reaction. In fact, he looked bored with my reasoning as he turned his focus to adjusting his cufflinks.
"It's not impossible. Your company has been angling for years to get one of their bars into the Victorian Hotel. I'm the majority owner of the Victorian Hotel, and my contract with the restaurant group running our rooftop lounge expires next year. If I guarantee that space to Vandermark, and require you as my exclusive liaison, they'll let you go on vacation for an entire month if you want.
I breathed out hard like his statement physically hit me in the chest.
You're not honestly suggesting that you'll use a multi-million-dollar contract to bribe my company into granting me a 2-week vacation.
His cufflinks straight, Mason returned his attention to me.
That was exactly what I was suggesting. But I'd be happy to reword it if you're having trouble understanding. I imagine working at Fatty Ale's does a number on the brain cells.
I close my eyes. Oh, my God, you are so incredibly annoying.
I know. You just gotta learn to love it, babe. That's how good relationships last.
Eyes open again. I stared at Mason, trying to figure out if he might actually be more infuriating than my toxic co-workers. But then, right on cue, Brielle came by, hitting me first with a scowl, and then her classic hip check that sent me tripping with surprising force onto Mason's table. The girl at the neighboring booth yelped, "Oh my God!" as glasses toppled and I clenched my jaw.
"Oh my God!"
I heard my co-workers ripping snorts behind me, and with my nose smashed in a puddle of ice water, I could actually feel my tolerance for bullshit quickly reaching capacity.
What just?
I brushed off Mason's question before he could finish, wordlessly getting back on my feet and undoing my apron. Chucking it onto the table, I yanked out my ponytail, crossed my arms, and locked eyes with Mason.
"I won't be just your dirty fling."
He cocked an eyebrow.
"Come again?"
"If I go to the wedding as your date, Mason, I'm going to be seen as your girlfriend, not another cheap fling whose sole purpose is to get on her knees and service you whenever you think you're horny. If you can manage to act like you have that kind of respect for a woman, then you've got yourself a deal."
Mason blinked. "Done. Any other issues?"
"Minor concerns about how you'll fake being a devoted boyfriend when you've never been one in real life."
"I imagine the same way you'll fake being a girlfriend who isn't completely vanilla and devoid of passion."
I glared. "What the hell is that supposed to mean?"
Mason grinned. "Apparently, that you can dish it, but not take it."
Once again, I closed my eyes for a moment to breathe deep.
"All right, all right."
"Truce," he laughed.
"Look, I know you hate me, but let me just remind you that dealing with me for the next 10 days will still be a hell of a lot easier than working at this shithole for at least another year. And if I ever say anything particularly annoying to you, just remember that giant fucking mountain of debt you're erasing. All right?"
I swallowed. "Fine."
"Any last concerns?"
I tore the cheesy name tag off my breast. "None for now. Ready to go?" Mason's eyebrows shot up.
"In the middle of your shift?"
"I've decided to make it the end," I said, water still dripping from the tip of my nose as I glanced behind at my co-workers. They were watching from service bar with smirks for what a huffy mess I look like. From where they stood, my conversation with Mason looked like an embarrassing disaster, which technically it was, but I was still eager to turn their smug looks into that of open-mouthed shock. Looking back to him, I crossed my arms. "It's your first task as my boyfriend, Mace. Walk me out of here like the gentleman you aren't, and make yourself look convincingly like my loving boyfriend." His eyebrows still hitched. He grinned.
"You got it, babe."
And just like that, Mason was up. A hush had fallen over the room, but he was nonchalant, straightening his suit and looking like some kind of royal as he escorted me off with a hand on my back. He smirked when I stiffened at his touch. Despite an outward calm, my heart had never beat faster in my life. "This is actually happening," I had to remind myself as Mason guided me to the front, pulling me protectively against his body as we parted the sea of gaping eyes. "Nice touch," I smirked to myself, feeling bolder now as we approached the bar. Like everyone else, the other waitresses were flat-out gaping. So, as I passed their click, I hit them with a version of the snarky line they always sneered at me. "Tell them I quit?" I wiggled my fingers in a wave. "Thanks." Holy shit. It wasn't closure just yet, but it was a start. Chapter 4. Apparently, the first order of business between Mason and myself was a meeting at his office to go over basics. From what I gathered during our conversation, we were about to map out a syllabus called Pissing Off Aaron 101, and I was very much on board with that, along with the fact that Mason called a luxury sedan to pick me up at my apartment and bring me to the Leo Group. The offices were located on Park Avenue, at the top of the iconic Tate Building. The commercial tower was home to Manhattan's most famous companies, and everything from four-star restaurants to esteemed news studios, so the entrance was ever the revolving door of very busy and important people. I couldn't help but feel completely out of place as I strolled through in my jeans and reliably warm, but admittedly hideous down jacket, armed with the sole purpose of trash-talking my ex. Surprisingly alone in the elevator, I tapped my heels anxiously up to his office on the 43rd floor, my eyebrows arching when the doors opened to a spacious waiting area, flanked by two walls of floor-to-ceiling windows. To my relief, it appeared to be a busy day, so I went mostly unnoticed as I made my way to the sleek, black surface at reception. The ultra-focused woman behind it angled her face to me, greeting me first with a smile before her eyes slid away from her screen.
"Good afternoon. Can I help you?"
I spoke over the sounds of her typing a mile a minute.
"Yes, please. I'm here to see Mason Leo." "Name?"
"Taylor Sims." She frowned at her screen.
"I'm sorry. It looks like you missed your appointment."
"My appointment?"
"I have your appointment here as 2:30, and it's nearing 3 now, so I'm afraid I can't fit you in. Mr. Leo's schedule is especially tight, as he'll be out of town next week."
"Oh." I paused, then laughed at myself, embarrassed by the line I was about to use.
"He asked me to come. I'm actually his, girlfriend."
The pity in her tone had me quickly realizing how many women came to reception and claimed to be Mason's girlfriend. At the end of the desk, a young man and older woman exchanged knowing looks, and suddenly, I realized I looked like an idiot.
"Damn it, Mason, you asshole."
Grabbing my phone, I shot him a text. "Hi, your receptionist thinks I'm a lying groupie.
Come get me."
I sent the text, but it took till after being asked to please step aside for Mason to finally come to my half-hearted rescue. I had hoped he'd come outside and grandly claim me as his beloved girlfriend, but instead, he called, and I simply watched as the receptionist picked up, blinked with brief surprise, then hung up. On the bright side, it was like a magic trick watching her look of apathy transform into a warm smile for me.
"Miss Sims, I'd be happy to show you to Mr. Leo's office."
"Great," I grumbled inwardly. Though as icy as she was, I couldn't hold my grudge against her as I trailed her down a sun-drenched hall toward the office at the very end. She was only doing her job. Mason, however, was an asshole for leading on however many women he did, forcing the poor souls at the front desk to be dubious of anybody coming in and presenting herself as his girlfriend. "This is clearly going to be a new experience for you," I said to Mason, once I made it into his office, the door shutting behind me. He sat at his glass desk in a dark suit, the jacket unbuttoned over a crisp white shirt and gray tie. Setting his pen down, he leaned back in his leather chair and cocked an eyebrow.
"What is?"
"Acting like you're in a committed relationship? First off, would have been nice for you to come rescue your girlfriend in person. Second, we've barely started this little arrangement, and I've already been reminded of what an unlikely womanizing choice of a boyfriend you'd be for me." Mason set his work aside, looking utterly unfazed by my words.
"Well, that's precisely why we're having this meeting."
He gestured for me to take the seat across from him. Sinking into the leather chair, I shrugged off my coat, brushing away the feathers it left on my pants and feeling severely underdressed, despite being in just an office.
"What are we covering, then?"
I'm guessing if you want to look like a good boyfriend, you should know things like my favorite food and restaurants. Probably my favorite movies, shows on TV.
I'm already well-versed on the reality trash you fall asleep to. But that's not the information I'm looking for anyway.
My arms crossed over my chest. Fine. What is it then?
Slightly more personal details. Namely, things Aaron always wanted from you, but never got.
Please don't tell me you're talking about sexual positions. Mason laughed.
You're not too far off.
He seemed to take pleasure in the horror that struck on my face.
Realistically, once Aaron sees us together, he's going to challenge the idea of us as a couple. He's going to watch us closely and ask a million questions. So for the sake of firing him up, I want to find out what would kill him to know that you provide me. Preferably things he didn't get. Home-cooked dinners, massages, strip-teases, specific positions in bed.
I sat down 2 minutes ago. I can't believe you're already asking me to tell you details about my bedroom with Aaron. And before you make a joke about how I live in a shitty studio, you know what I mean. Mason leaned forward with a slight crinkle in his long, straight nose.
Trust me, I don't want to hear the details of your sex life with my brother. But the point of us being a couple for this wedding is to make Aaron jealous. To piss him off to high hell and drive him fucking insane over the fact that you're not only with me, but showing me things he never got to see. Right now, he thinks he's seen everything from you. Our job is to convince him that he hasn't and still wants you.
I groaned, hating the fact that Mason had a point. Glaring out the window at the view of the Chrysler building, I avoided his eye, loathing the fact that I had to relive my failed relationship for him. I don't know, Mason. As far as I know, I was a decent girlfriend. I gave Aaron massages every night. We had sex at least 4 times a week, and I've done everything from put on a corset and garters for him to let him tie me to the bed. I said, my cheeks hot. They grew even hotter when I looked up to find Mason's eyebrows lifted in unfiltered surprise at me. Blushing fiercely, I managed to roll my eyes. Yeah, I know you have me in your head as this prudish little good girl, but I can confidently say I didn't leave Aaron wanting for much in bed. If anything, he just wished I'd let him show me off more and act more flirty and sexual with him in public.
But you're more on the conservative side,
Mason deduced. Actually, no, I said defensively. I'm not Miss Prim and Proper. I just liked being privately sexy with my boyfriend. As in, I like sending nude photos and teasing him at home and trying different things in bed. What I didn't like, however, was encouraging Aaron's need to show off and swing his dick around like an idiot. I'm not sure if you noticed, but growing up with you gave him an unhealthy need to show the world that he had nice things too. And as his girlfriend, it was kind of exhausting. It turned me off from getting too dolled up and wearing tight, sexy dresses and getting him all the attention he so desperately craved because I didn't want him to put so much worth in the superficial. Breathless, I finished my speech to find Mason wetting his smirking lips in a way that made me press my lips together.
In short, you didn't want him to try to be like me, he said.
Precisely. I wanted him to be nothing like you. And you're laughing because...
Because this works perfectly for our purposes, and you're too busy being pissed at me to realize it,
Mason replied with amusement.
You're trying to get Aaron jealous, and you're telling me he used to wish for you to wear little dresses and show PDA so he could compete with my dating life. So basically, to get at Aaron's biggest insecurities, we just need to buy you a new wardrobe, and you just need to muster up the courage to let me touch you at some point.
I chewed my lip, realizing that again, Mason had a point. Aaron had already grown up furiously jealous of Mason. Seeing Mason show me off and nuzzle me in public would probably drive him mentally insane. And as much as instinct told me to hurt for Aaron and protect him, I found myself wanting to do this. I wanted to get closure and answers from him, yes, but I also wanted badly to make him feel at least a shred of what I felt. I just needed to reconcile the fact that I couldn't do it without cozying up to his asshole brother.
Sound like a plan?
Mason asked.
We'll set up an appointment for your fitting tomorrow.
I tried not to look too excited by the prospect of brand new clothes. I'll be free.
Good. In the meantime, we may need to practice some public displays of affection.
I stared. What is this? Middle school? And we're going to practice making out? There was laughter in Mason's eyes as he studied my reluctance.
Not quite, but the reality is that at some point, my lips are going to have to touch yours.
Is that an absolute necessity? I asked weakly, involuntarily gazing at Mason's curving mouth.
Considering you used to kiss Aaron in public, I'd say yes. But since you look physically nauseous at the idea right now, I'll let you take it a step at a time.
Mason walked me to the door.
I'm sure the monotony of dating my brother for 3 years has wiped out any memory of how to flirt or look remotely sensual. So I'll give you some time to recover from that.
If this is your attempt at reverse psychology, it's not working. Mason laughed.
No? What if I challenge the idea that you even remembered how to look content, how to mimic the mannerisms and speech patterns of someone in a passionate and loving relationship?
I'd say you have nothing to worry about, boyfriend.
Boyfriend. Great pet name. I'd prefer babe or even honey over it. But work at your own pace. We'll get you there.
Mason smirked as he opened the door, but his thick brows furrowed as I pulled my coat back on.
Christ. Leave it off for now.
Excuse me?
At least let me watch you walk away without that hideous thing on,
Mason said, picking a feather out of the sleeve and then letting his gaze dip briefly down the front of my V-neck. I stood frozen for a moment, but then he cracked a half-smile.
Basic flirting. Try it on me next time.
I snorted. Screw you.
I'll see you tomorrow, Taylor.
Dying with excitement here. And with that romantic exchange, we parted ways. Chapter 5. The first official act of our staged romance started the next day at the Margot Vivier showroom on Madison Avenue. Mason had texted me to meet him, but was MIA by the time I arrived, giving me plenty of time to stand there awkwardly and confirm that this was, in fact, the kind of place I'd never explore on my own. It was almost uncomfortably immaculate, with its runway lighting and perfectly spaced racks of insanely expensive-looking dresses. Though I like to think of myself as mostly confident, I found myself feeling quickly out of my league. But just as I contemplated backing slowly out of the store, a willowy salesgirl fluttered forward to greet me by name, whisking me into the back and chatting warmly about all the stunning pieces Mr. Leo already picked for me, before flitting around like a hummingbird, wrapping my bust, waist, and hips with her thin white measuring tape. Jotting the numbers into a leather booklet, she then poured a glass of champagne and handed it to me with a dazzling smile, leaving me half-stunned, half-delighted as I sipped on Veuve and browsed their selection of summer dresses, all of them plucked out specifically for me. I was about a half-hour into my tipsy shopping when Mason's text buzzed in my phone.
Not sure I'll make it. Work. But feel free to go crazy. Everything will be charged to my account.
I wrinkled my nose, trying but failing to contain my snarky reply. Me. You have an account here. Classy.
Mason. What's the problem?
Me. None. Me. Just realizing the sheer volume of women you've brought into this store.
Mason. If you're not feeling special enough right now, let me comfort you with the fact that you're the only one who will be receiving actual clothing, rather than lingerie.
Me.
Mmm.
Even classier.
Mason. That said, you could probably use some lingerie despite your full supply of incredibly sexy day-of-the-week panties.
I narrowed my eyes at Mason's last text. Sipping my champagne, I stared at my phone for another minute before deciding I wouldn't reply. Because I was classy, not because I had no comebacks left in my arsenal.
Miss Sims,
the salesgirl smiled warmly as she glided over.
Your fitting room is ready.
With that, she escorted me to a white circular room lit by the glow of a chandelier hanging over a white circular couch. With a gesture toward the button to press if I needed help, she shut the door behind me, leaving me alone with about a dozen dresses that could probably pay my rent four times over. There was silk, jersey, and charmeuse, in shades of coral, jade, and champagne, and all it took was 2 seconds of running my hands all over the buttery fabrics before I was eagerly stripping naked and pulling on the first piece. I couldn't even be mad at Mason for picking the tightest, shortest little things to offer, because the mission was to find the one. That one painfully sexy dress to incite Aaron's emotion, envy, and regret all at once. While the first 3 or 4 choices were gorgeous, flattering, and certainly summer-appropriate, I'd yet to feel that spark. But then, sifting through the pieces left, my fingers brushed along a silk so soft and luxurious, my lips actually puckered into an involuntary, ooh. But just as I slipped the potential winner off its sleek, black hanger, my phone buzzed on the chair. Mason.
What are you wearing right now?
Me.
Ha!
Mason.
I'm not sexting you. It's a serious question since I can't see you in person.
Me. Well, I was about to try on something promising, but then you interrupted.
Mason. Are you telling me you're naked right now?
Me. I'm wearing underwear. Are you sure you're not trying to sext me?
Mason. Having doubts now. What color are your panties?
Me.
This is 100% sexting.
Mason. Let me guess. They say Friday despite the fact that it's Sunday.
Me. I'm not wearing day-of-the-week panties, asshole. They're black lace boy shorts.
Mason. Fuck.
I snorted, ready to toss the phone aside after a good minute of silence, but just as I set it down, another text buzzed in.
Mason. Send me a picture.
Me.
You're not seriously requesting nudes from me right now.
Mason.
I was asking for a picture of the dress you were about to try on. But I'd be more than receptive to nudes if you wanted to send some. You certainly have me thinking about them at this point.
Me.
Ha! Weren't you supposed to be swamped with work?
Mason. Distracted now.
Me. Ugh, why?
Mason. Vivid imagination.
Me.
Okay, I'm turning off my phone now.
I laughed as I tossed my phone into my purse before returning to my artful shimmy into the tightest but most beautiful dress ever made. And we have a winner, I murmured when I could finally gaze at myself in the mirror. The dress was as simple as it could get, draped and strapless with a sweetheart neckline, but there was something ruthlessly sexy about it, too. It had to be the color. Nude, and barely a shade darker than the natural hue of my skin, combined with the snug fit that forced me to go without so much as my panties underneath. I easily declared it the winning make-him-kick-himself-in-the-ass St. Lucia showstopper. All I needed was to zip the back. After pushing the button several times to no avail, I hugged the front of my dress to my chest and peeked out of the changing room, taking a few barefoot steps onto the plush carpet, before a familiar voice gasped behind me.
No way. Taylor Sims?
Fuck. Please don't let it be her, I begged silently, my stomach dropping before I even turned around to confirm the sight of Whitney Decker.
Oh my God, it is you, she squealed, her dark curls bouncing as she pranced over to me in just a black bra and leather skirt.
Wrapping her arms around my neck, she kissed my cheek and cooed,
"Poor thing, Taylor. I'm surprised you're even out and about after what Aaron did to you."
And there it was, the passive aggressiveness she was so very famous for. "Well, you know," a strained smile stretched my lips, "it's been 2 months. Can't be sad the rest of my life."
"Oh, that is such a good attitude, darling. You seriously have the best attitude," Whitney marveled, pulling away to flash me big Bambi eyes.
"God, Tay, I was really hoping I wouldn't have to tell you, but
Now that you've seen me here, you probably know I'm shopping to go to Aaron's wedding.
It was my turn for the Bambi eyes.
Fuck. Seriously, Aaron? He didn't have the decency to tell me he was getting married, but he did invite the woman who'd almost come between us 2 years ago, who reminded me of the worst night of my life, the worst decision of my life.